This is a podcast from Cambridge Assessment. For more downloads, visit cambridgeassessment.org.uk.
Professor Martin Faultley, thank you very much indeed for talking to the Cambridge Assessment podcast series today. We're looking at current issues with national curriculum assessment, lessons from school music education. You began in a very bold fashion talking about what's gone wrong. So first of all, why do you think something's gone wrong?
I think one of the problems that has caused the wrongness which I was talking about is the use of national curriculum levels at every possible opportunity by music teachers in order to show progress of their pupils. I don't think this is something music teachers themselves have chosen to do. This has been an imposition from outside, often from school leadership teams.
And you began, didn't you? But by actually, you know, you've got some philosophers to quote from. You quoted from Professor Ludlow, Schrodinger's cat, even the Zen art of motorcycle maintenance. You gave us a little bit of entertainment with these cameo stories.
I tried to. Professor Ludlow talks about if it can't be measured, does it exist? And this I then transferred to Persig and Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, where he talks about quality and whether or not you can measure quality. Does quality exist? Schrodinger's cat came in because Schrodinger's cat is simultaneously alive and dead, and I think that Schrodinger's cat is alive in terms of the quality which exists in music, and music teachers are perfectly able to spot it, but it's dead in the moment that you then have to try and ascribe an assessment criterion to it in a way that transfers so that people from all areas can understand what's going on. I think music teachers are able to say what's a good piece of music and they can hear it from their pupils, but to write an assessment criterion which shows that is actually very difficult.
And we've got two types of assessment, of course, formative assessment and summative assessment. And I know you don't much like sort of the interuse of these two types of assessment.
I think what's happened is that the term formative assessment has become mistakenly used in schools. And so true formative assessment can be seen to be teachers working with their pupils to improve their learning. In the case that I'm talking about of music teachers working with their pupils to improve their music making. This would be formative assessment and true formative assessment. What happens in schools is a mistaking of mini summative assessment. In other words, you give the pupils a mini summative task and then give them a grade, mark or level and use this to say that the attainment of the pupils, for example, was a level 4C and they need to be a level 4B next time. And schools mistakenly call that formative assessment. Dylan William talks about any marks that you make on a spreadsheet aren't proper formative assessment. And yet this is what schools are calling formative assessment. And I'm trying to be quite precise and say that this is in fact the formative use of summative assessment.
Indeed, you were bold. We know you don't like spreadsheets. And the other thing that you identified, and perhaps others haven't been as brave to identify, is that in music teaching, people were going it alone, if you like, and putting grades within the grade. So you got 4.2, 4.3, 4.4, when actually there is no real integrating of the grades. They're making it very complex in terms of the assessment criteria.
Absolutely. National curriculum grades only exist in integers, in whole numbers. And yet schools, music teachers, are in many cases required to break them down into smaller units. The research I've been doing recently has found that many schools break them down into three units. So, for example, we would have a level 4A, 4B and 4C. These don't exist in statute. So schools have had to write their own wording for what these mean. Then they are criticised by Ofsted because these wordings aren't appropriate and don't show a full understanding of the levels concerned. I think to some extent this is not the fault of the teachers. This is something they've been required to do. Therefore, the moment you are required to do something and you do it and then are damned for doing it, I think this is a sad case.
And as a professor of music, you want to go along to a school, you want to hear a lesson, you want to see them teaching and helping the children make music at that secondary school level. But then you can't go because the teachers say, oh, don't come on Wednesday, I need to level the kids. You know, there's an acronym, and almost as if the day you're assessing or the time you spend assessing isn't teaching.
That's a very common statement, and many teachers...
I need to level the kids.
...say, I need to level the kids, don't come then. And I need to level the kids means devoting often an entire lesson to listening to the pupils perform pieces of music, then giving it a grade, and then showing and sharing this grade with the senior leadership team. In many cases, this isn't being done for the benefit of the pupils. It's not a show and tell lesson. It's not a let's share our music lesson. It's designed so that there is a making visible of the assessment process, and the teachers can say, I've done assessment, which is another thing I hear teachers say. I've done assessment, and here is the results. It can be found in this spreadsheet. Now, this may not necessarily improve the pupils' music or their learning or their attainment. It's simply a way of fulfilling a school requirement.
And in level key stage 3, which is aged 11 to 14, you say that people like writing music, they like composing music, they like music lessons, and yet, if you like, that joy of creating music is being inhibited or blocked by the fact that people are using these assessment criteria like precision engineering. They're digging down and they're taking all the fun out of the lesson.
In many cases, that's what's happening. And the fun is being taken out of the lesson for the teacher as well. I don't meet many teachers who say to me, I went into education in order to give national curriculum levels. But I meet teachers who say, I went into education in order to work with the kids, to help them make music, to help them with their instruments, to help them with their composing. And this is what they want to do. And yet they are constrained in their music making by the systemic requirements of having to provide level information which doesn't help the pupils get better and doesn't do anything for the music making of the school, but simply goes into some sort of Excel Leviathan that then devours all this data, and the music teachers have no idea what happens to it.
Well, you are, Professor Faultley, nothing less than a brave heart, because you said in a bold statement that assessment has become a sledgehammer, not the right way to go about teaching music. And then you asked the teachers what they thought. I'm not going to tell our audience at this moment what the results of your survey was, but it was quite shocking.
It was, and over 70% of them agreed or strongly agreed with the statement that national curriculum assessment at Key Stage 3 has got in the way of music making. Now, if we have a situation where that sort of number of teachers are saying that assessment is a problem and has got in the way of music making, then it strikes me that there's something very sadly wrong with the system. And remember, these are music teachers who want to be doing music with the kids. They're not music teachers who want to be giving levels. They want their kids to be getting better at music. They don't want simply to, as I said before, be feeding the Excel Leviathan. The kids want to get better at music, yes, and we know that in many schools there's a culture, as there would be, of kids trading their national curriculum levels and a degree of one-upmanship of I'm a level 4B and they're only a level 4C or whatever. But this doesn't actually tell us anything. It doesn't say this kid is a better songwriter, whereas this kid is a better guitar player. It doesn't give us any of those gradations or shadings, and it doesn't help those kids get better at songwriting or get better at guitar playing.
And you did indeed come back to the beginning at the end and told us that Schrödinger's cat was indeed dead, that in fact, if we looked at Professor Ludlow, really he was right that you can't assess quality. You know, you might as well give up, scratch your head and lay down or go back to bed. And that we've really got to the stage in the modern music teaching curriculum where someone can be given as big a mark for having their tie done up and looking smart as composing a good piece of work. So the person who's dressed smartly might score better than the person who makes a good, bold, creative composition.
Yes, and some of the teachers I have seen working have been so constrained by the necessity of providing national curriculum levels that they've ended up assessing all sorts of spurious things. I gave the example of one where the assessment criterion was of having your tie done up. There are others which, although are less extreme, aren't very musical. There is one that I saw where it holds the instrument the right way up. Well, there are all sorts of divergent performances where you might actually not want to do this. The notion of going back to Persig and quality, of where quality in musical performance comes in, or musical composition, is often missed out of some of these criteria because it's too difficult and too contentious. Music teachers are also very articulate and very canny because they know that senior leadership teams don't understand what quality is in Key Stage 3 music. Therefore, many of them are quite happy articulating the fact that they're giving senior leadership teams what they want, so long as the national curriculum levels match what the predictions were, they'll be left alone. It's only when that there are numbers which are different that they are then interfered with and have some investigation of their syllabus and their teaching taking place. So there are quite serious worries that assessment is getting in the way of music making.
And there is, if you like, fashion in music too. So some people might not like the fact that teachers are using REM rather than church choral music. You mentioned the philosopher and commentator Roger Scruton. But if you like, that gets thrown into the mix. And then the mix may go wrong, perhaps in areas like yours in Birmingham.
There's a wide variety of kids in our schools. And I used examples from inner city schools in Birmingham simply because I'm familiar with them. But those inner city kids can be replicated all across the country. We have a wide range of kids working in a wide range of styles. We also have to remember that between the ages of 11 to 14, music forms part of young people's identities. And these are the ages when they're forming their identities. Therefore, music needs to take account of this. It's quite a delicate area. Very few people are forming their identity through maths. And so, in music, they are. This matters to them. If they're working with a particular style and type of music, it has meaning for them. And the music teacher does have to tread carefully in this area and develop it. There's an old maxim about starting where the pupil is and taking them somewhere else in education. And I don't wish to disparage in any way any form of tradition, but I think the important thing is to start from where the pupil is and then take them somewhere else in order to explore that tradition, not just drop them straight in at the deep end of Western arts music for some kids. They need to be led by the hand in order to appreciate it.
Can I just ask you finally, whether or not the cat is actually dead?
I think the cat is truly Schrodinger's cat and is both alive and dead at the same time. We have an alive cat. We know what quality is in music. We can hear it. We can detect it. We know it when it's there, but it's also dead. And one of the problems is that when we're trying to measure how dead it is using national curriculum levels.
Professor Martin Faulkley, thank you very much indeed for talking to the Cambridge Assessment podcast series today. We're looking at current issues with national curriculum assessment, lessons from school music education. I've learned so much.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be here.
This is a podcast from Cambridge Assessment. For more downloads, visit cambridgeassessment.org.uk.